You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Woo!
I think that's my favorite one.
Most simple one.
By the way, did you know, I thought that the Ric Flair, because I've been going to Islander games, I thought that the Ric Flair woo and the yes, yes chants were particular only to the Islanders. It seems like it's an NHL-wide thing. A lot of teams are doing it. Like, the Devils also apparently do it. I was listening to a game. I don't think the Rangers do it, but...
When the Charlotte Hornets hit a free throw, they woo.
Like, do they pay Ric Flair? Does he get, like, money every time somebody woos in an arena, like, over the loudspeaker?
Every time they play his woo, like... I don't think so. He's there sometimes, you know. He talks to teams and all that. So I guess he's okay with it.
All right. Well, before we get into the show, just a reminder that we're here with our partnership through the Last Word on sports.com. You can find us on LWOS Radio over on iTunes. You can also find us under the Wrestling to the Max or W2M channel over on iTunes. You can also check out Wrestling to the Max on Facebook. Of course, make sure you stop by the Last Word on sports.com. You can search any of their areas on sports, and obviously professional wrestling is the one that we're very happy to be proudly presented on. You can also find us on Stitcher if you're looking over there. You can send your emails to the runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at runningwildlwos. Leave us any comments, questions, trivia, and we'll be happy to read those online. All right, so as we march forward. We're not marching, I guess. Rolling along on the road to WrestleMania. I've started, as always.
We're on the road, but we're on a service road because we're building to strictly Fastlane, basically. They haven't done anything mainly for WrestleMania other than the number one contenders match. Everything else is clearly a Fastlane placeholder.
Well, I mean, I'm on the road as I embark on my difficult journey that I take every year. I sacrifice a lot of my life to watch every WrestleMania.
Yeah, inspired by me, who did it first. Thank you.
All right. But, you know, it's an arduous journey. It's difficult.
Oh, yeah, it's horrendous.
But, you know, you still get amazing moments like Susan St. James of WrestleMania 2 being on commentary. The commentary teams for WrestleMania 2, because of the three different locations, were amazing. You get to find out that Lord Alfred Hayes is kind of crazy. He doesn't know what's going on half the time at these events, which is just fantastic. Liberace being in the ring with Hulk Hogan and Mr. T at the end of WrestleMania 1 is just kind of weird. And then you get to legit remember that Roddy Piper really didn't like Mr. T and kind of wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
So, and man, how awesome would it be if WrestleMania this year they just had like NFL like line? Like, you just had, like, who would, this is so random, I shouldn't even be talking about this, but which football players do you think, if they did like the Battle Royal from WrestleMania 2 at WrestleMania this year, who would you include? Look, I already got my first one.
Rob Gronkowski. That's it. He's the winner. Game over.
Well, Rob Gronkowski, Clay Matthews. I think he's in the conversation.
Rob Gronkowski is the winner.
Really?
Yep. Without question.
Who else would I put in there?
Richard Sherman would have to be in there because of his RKOs.
Okay. I'm trying to think. See, I was thinking more like linebackers, linemen, defensive.
Oh, clearly. But
Julius Peppers.
Those
Nick Mangold.
Gigantic guys.
Nick Mangold would Nick be Mangold. Amazing.
You actually have to put relevant players in there.
You guys can't see this, but I'm very displeased with that comment. Being a long-suffering Jet fan, Nick Mangold is one of the most relevant players in on our team. If anything happens to him, we don't go anywhere. So,
anyway, back to wrestlers.
Oh yeah. All right. So, well, I guess do you want to get started on the news of the week before we get started on our the road to Fastlane? The issue of V-Lane to Fastlane?
Very sad and depressing news, even though it's not the worst.
Yeah. So Bret Hart came out this week, and I guess it's, you know, far enough along where it didn't seem like he had any treatment options, but he revealed that he has prostate cancer. You know, it's weird. Like, well, my grandfather actually was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he was able to, you know, successfully go through the surgery and kind of recover.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that he...
That's unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, he can come out of this, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, as a lot of, like, news sources we're seeing and websites and everything, you know, it's just, it seems like the Hart family, aside from the...
Mm-hmm.
The Von Erichs are probably, like, the family that kind of... just has the most going on, but this is one of those. This, I don't know, it's sad, but I don't think it's one of those like tragic wrestling family stories. You know, I mean, he's an older gentleman. No, just,
there's a lot of people in that family and, you know, in the wrestling business where bad things happen to most of those people. And that's, you know, a lot of them unfortunate, like some of them unpreventable or whatever, but, you know. That's kind of what happens in this business, unfortunately, or what happened in this business. You know, hopefully we can start to, you know, fix that slightly without the chair shots and all the, you know, crazy head bumps and all that kind of stuff now. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's almost hearing this week that's even a little sadder than that was Axel Rotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy's like only 44 years old. They found him in his hotel room. He had passed away. So, I mean, there are not a lot of details out other than that. But, I mean, he wasn't he wasn't one of those guys in the best shape of his life, you know, either. And you wonder.
Not the best shape physically, and definitely not the best shape mentally. You know, he was always one of those guys with, you know, with drug problems or whatever the case. So, you know, it sometimes these things happen when you get involved in wrestling and other outside interests, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this will be, you know, it feels like in a couple of years you won't be hearing a lot of these stories. Just,
I mean, hopefully, you know.
Just based on like the fact that the newer guys are generally not doing this, you know, like you don't
have. Hopefully, yes, but it was a different world in the 70s and 80s when these guys were traveling the roads and, you know, you didn't know what certain stuff did and would do to you down the road. So hopefully, like you said, with technology and just people being more aware and smarter now, we don't have these kind of situations down the line.
It's so this week I started my new the new term in school, and what's great is I'm teaching Andre the Giant Life and Legend again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm literally like, part of my lesson is talking about how we have to evaluate the sources for the graphic novel because wrestlers were so kept to kayfabe so much. You know, we have to understand that maybe if they said that Andre had 200 beers, maybe it was really 100. And just talking legitimately in my classroom as a professional, talking about kayfabe and how we have to consider
just wrestling stories.
Yeah, you know, consider what works there. And then, I mean, having students, you know, I asked the question, you know, how was Andre's size both a blessing and a curse? and having kids legitimately raise their hands, you know, not smiling, not laughing. Well, you know, it helped him become famous in wrestling, but, you know, it put a lot of strain on his heart because his body kept growing because he's a giant. And I'm just...
Wow.
I mean, I'm getting paid to literally talk about Andre the Giant. So, oh, and then I brought up the point. They were like, well, why wouldn't you trust the people? And then I'm like, well, Hulk Hogan is the guy at the beginning of this story who's sharing about Andre, but he's been exposed as being a liar himself. And they were like, oh, that guy Hulk Hogan, he was on TMZ. They said bad things. And I was like, this is amazing.
Jeez.
So, yeah, that's been part of my week. We'll be going through Andre until at least President's Week. So this is every day is an exciting adventure. So I guess we should get to Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm jog my memory. We're actually taping on Saturday for a first. Can we remember? Can we remember the beginning?
This is usually your job to find the recap.
Was Heyman out first? Yeah, I think Heyman was out first. Is that crazy?
No, yeah, that sounds right. Heyman and Brock, right? And they just talked about the triple threat and Reigns and Ambrose being brothers and all that, right?
Yeah, and then I believe that.
Then Ambrose came out and stared him down. So he just wanted to know what it felt like, you know, which was cool. I like that. Then.
Hello?
Yeah. Then what? I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no, I was just looking it up. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was funny. I'm having difficulty really seeing Dean. It's weird that Dean is in this position.
No, it's not. Why is it weird? Someone has to get pinned.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, what I mean is, like, having him come out and get in Lesnar's face, like, the idea of Ambrose beating Lesnar to me is just impossible.
See, like, I don't mind it because Ambrose is nuts. So, like, he's not that much smaller, like, height-wise than Brock. Mm-hmm. And he's nuts. So, like, I can believe anything he does, you know? But on SmackDown, and I didn't know this until the kids at my job told me, it was Reigns against Rusev. And, like, the League of Nations is beating up Reigns, and Ambrose comes out. And Del Rio and Barrett have, like, Reigns by the arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ambrose goes to hit the diving elbow off the apron, and Del Rio and Barrett move out of the way, and he just hits Reigns, and he's like, oh, man, you know.
Classic.
And then later, they have a tag team match, and he does the suicide dive, and they move out of the way again, and Reigns, like, catches him, and he puts him down. He's like, yo, what are you doing, man? Like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? And I was like, wow, this is – thank you. Perfect. Just give me a little attention here. You know, make something happen. Now what, like, what happens? Reigns pins Ambrose?
I mean
– you know, like
– I always love – there's nothing better in professional wrestling than when two guys are scheduled to fight and then they have a tag team match. Like, you would think that at this point –
well, I mean, it's not like it's – Brock and Reigns having a tag team match. It's
no. That's
two boys, though. You know,
but that's how, like, you know, like, even Warrior and Hogan, you know, like, they accidentally hit each other. It's just the amount of times dudes
build to it.
Accidentally hit each other. It's just one of my favorite. Even on Ring of Honor this week, and we'll talk about that later, I guess. But Jay Lethal ends up accidentally hitting someone, you know, that he didn't mean to. I think that's my favorite thing ever. They get so angry. And because I love that they also can never go back to watch the tape. Like, it seems like wrestlers don't have access to.
Yeah, but if somebody did something risky and hit you one time and then almost hit you the second time, you're still like, yo, what the hell are you doing? Like, even if you know it's an accident, it's still like, yo, stop, man.
All right. There was a time when I was playing. I've always been bad at basketball. I was playing.
Okay, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. I was playing my friend basketball, and I elbowed him in the face, and he got angry. He's like, yo, you got to be careful. You're playing defense. Got to keep your arms down, swinging them all over the place. Don't do that again. And then a minute later, I clearly did it again, and he almost wanted to kill me. And I was like, what? I didn't mean to. I really didn't. He's like, you're being reckless. I really wanted it to result in a wrestling match, but it just resulted in me not playing basketball anymore.
The correct ending to that situation.
All right. I don't know. We had Rusev taking on Kalisto. I mean, I guess they're keeping the.
Yeah, because Del Rio was hurt. So.
Yeah, they said that he might have gotten hurt during one of the Germans during the Royal Rumble. I think.
Makes sense.
So, I mean, obviously, if they're keeping him on TV, I don't think it's like as serious as it could be, which is good because I mean,
injured. Yeah, on SmackDown, he was in the tag team match and like he just did kicks and punches and you know that kind of stuff. So he's clearly not in the worst shape. He just like can't take the bump right now.
What did you think about Miz TV?
I don't know. At first, I thought it was weird. Like, you know, do they have no confidence in AJ to talk already? Or
yeah,
is this just like a build to it, you know? Because you have to introduce the guy. And you don't want him, like I said last week, you don't want him to be the guy like, hey, I'm AJ Styles. I did this and this and this and this. You know, at least this way. It's The Miz. It's Jericho. It's kind of too heelish, tweener, whatever. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I hope that next time, like a next Raw, like he comes out and he actually like said something himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I get. I'm all for you know protecting a guy and not making him seem like a braggart. You know, and come
out. He's the baby face, you know.
Yeah, so he can't do that. I mean.
See, like, it was really weird. It was really weird, you know, that The Miz just talked. But, like, then I was listening to Cheap Pete, and they were talking about, like, how it's The Miz's character and that kind of stuff. And it kind of made me like, yeah, that's true, you know. But, one, I'm not really interested in a Miz versus AJ Styles match, even though I watched it anyway. But I'm just, you know, like, whatever. Like, I don't, I read an article where, like, somebody was saying, like, oh, they're, like, losing it with Styles already and blah. And I was like, see, I don't buy that either. Like, this is one way to introduce a guy. It's not over by any means, you know. Like, yeah, The Miz called him a redneck rookie. But, like, why does that matter? Like, that's kayfabe. Like, even if somebody put that in, like, oh, yeah, he's a redneck rookie. Ha, ha, ha. But, like... that's what the heel is supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think that's burying the talent at all in any way.
No, like he's new to WWE, and that's what you do. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just kind of how things work there. You know,
like if JBL said that, I think it would be a problem.
Almost. I mean, like, yeah, I'm sure they referenced it because King referenced it a bunch on SmackDown too. So I'm sure they mentioned it too. But
and King's working full heel, right?
King is full heel. Which to me is just like, what the hell? Because when he was on Raw, he was terrible. And now he goes to SmackDown and he's amazing.
Well, he was always great as a heel.
Yeah, exactly. But on Raw, he was just a baby face and he was just terrible.
Because
why couldn't he? Why is JBL a tweener? Why was King a tweener or a straight baby face? Why can't somebody be a full heel on Raw?
Well, I think JBL actually tweeted about this one day where somebody was like, don't you know whether you're, I don't know, face, like someone, like basically someone called him out on it. And he's like, you know, we're not in a black and white world, son, anymore, you know? things aren't black and white. Okay, and so his argument is
black and white world. It's like,
I think that's what they're missing. That it only became, I mean, the truth of the matter is like, yeah, Austin had very much behaved in the way of a heel, but at the end of the day, if you want to look at it in terms of black or white, he was fighting against an authority figure who was oppressive. Yeah. So, I mean, on a very simple, basic level, Steve Austin is the protagonist. He's your hero, and Vince was the antagonist. And that was always clear as day.
Exactly. And that's what they muddy the waters a little bit. And people like us who cheer for Bray Wyatt and cheer for a heel Dolph Ziggler or The Miz or Seth Rollins, we kind of fuck it up too, because here's the difference. Back in the day, and even in the 90s, the internet was not what it is, and you didn't know who any of these guys were. You didn't know anything about them. You didn't know anything. You just knew what you saw on TV or what you read about in WWE magazine or Pro Wrestling Illustrated, whatever it was. But it wasn't the, like, oh, I know Seth Rollins is the best wrestler this company has. You know, like, he's the most entertaining guy. It wasn't like that. The heels were, like, vicious. Like, they were just assholes. They just made fun of the crowd and the city. And, you know, like, you didn't appreciate it enough because it was so cookie cutter, you know, heel face.
Well, let's see.
Like, now that we have the internet and the world has changed, clearly, you know, and that type of element is different now. The crowd reaction is not black and white. So that forces certain things to happen.
I'm trying to think, because I liked Ric Flair when he came in as Real World Champion. I really did. And I liked him I was pretty psyched that he won the 91 Rumble. I was only upset when he targeted Macho Man. You know, like, I could...
Yeah.
I think, like, so let me try to think.
That's because you watched Ric Flair, like, in WCW. Yeah. Like, you know, you knew who Ric Flair was.
Yeah, I guess that's why... Yeah, because I'm trying to think of other heels that I may have supported then. And looking back on it, like, there weren't many that I was like...
No, but, like, imagine we could have watched... I don't know. Like, imagine Georgia we could have been reading about. Yeah. Well, no. Like, imagine we could have been reading about, like, Edge and Christian when, like, I don't know. I didn't like them before they were Edge and Christian. Like,
yeah, Edge is weird. The Brood,
you know,
is
like
weird.
There's a different appreciation for certain guys because attention gets paid more attention gets paid to them. You know, like Zack Ryder, he would have never been anything if it wasn't for YouTube. Like. You know, certain things just allow people to connect with an audience in a bigger way.
See, I think Owens does the best job.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is, like, okay, I like Owens, except when he does stuff like attack or shit on Sami Zayn, right?
Yeah, he makes you care about the babyface.
Yeah, he does, and you know, and that, and I think that's also a product of him being a better heel than some of the other guys.
Than anyone else.
Because, but, I mean, legitimately, I think there are guys who used to like him, who, like his style, but, like, I do. Like, I mean, I'm smart up enough.
I'm going to give you the perfect example. Me. Nobody's a bigger Kevin Owens fan than me. But I, like, when Sami Zayn always or El Generico gets that comeuppance and like the win, like, I love that shit because I root for Sami Zayn to finally overcome that, because Kevin Steen has just abused him for so much that to see that moment is a cool moment, you know. Mm-hmm. So even the biggest Kevin Owens fan can appreciate or can, like, sympathize with the baby face that he's destroying. Because that's what wrestling is, like, you know, like, it's just that pure entertainment. And when those guys can blur the lines and, like, really make you feel one type of way, even though you don't really want to, or it's, like, involuntary, you know, that's the beauty of it.
I was actually, And I think with the commentators, I don't think they need to be tweener. Like, I think some of the best interactions, I mean,
they don't sell the product enough. The in-ring product.
I mean, this week I'm writing.
They sell the hell out of the out of the ring stuff.
This week I'm writing about with Ring of Honor. I really like Kevin Kelly and Mr. Wrestling number 3, Steve Corino.
Yes.
But the one thing I wish is that, you know, Mr. Wrestling number 3 or, you know, would be a little bit more heel. But that's and I know that right now he's kind of like involved in this conflict, so it becomes a little bit more it's a little bit more muddied there, right? But there's a big part of me that they just wishes that's the one thing that's missing from them. But you know, like on Ring of Honor, they did something amazing. You know, Roddy's doing the whole Roddy versus the World, and they brought up, you know, and he keeps facing guys who aren't on the roster. So normally, even if you do a challenge, you have at least seen these guys, you've wrestled them recently. Mm-hmm. You know, when these guys come out from all around the world, Roddy can't really prepare because he hasn't seen them, you know, in months, years, or anything like that. So he has no scouting on them. And I was like, wow, like, yeah, wrestling's fake and it's predetermined. But like in that moment, listening to him say it that way, I remember hearing myself go, oh, you know, that's true. He can't really get ready. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, it doesn't matter. But like that legitimately got me there. You know, like it brought me back. It brought me like tunnel vision into
the
product.
The simple things like, you know, yes, it's predetermined. Yes, we all maybe can predict certain things and blah, blah, blah. But like, it's those moments when you just get caught up in the storyline or you get caught up in the match. Like, I always tell people, like, wrestling is the most fun thing ever to go to because you just constantly cheer. Whether you're booing or cheering, you know, you're constantly interacting. And you don't do that in a basketball game or a baseball game. You cheer when something happens. In wrestling, you're cheering for nothing. You're cheering for something to happen, basically. Like, that's it's so much fun. Oh.
All right. I'm trying to think what else is going on the Mondays.
New Day was awesome as always.
What do you think about Ziggler beating before we just because we're still talking about Owens? Think about Ziggler.
Obviously, I hated that, but
it legitimizes Ziggler a little bit. No,
but like, who cares about Dolph Ziggler? But like Kevin Owens can't win always, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so. It is what it is, but this just builds to a rematch probably at Fastlane. So Kevin Owens will kill him at Fastlane, and we'll go from there for WrestleMania. Because like I said last week, or like I said I would rather see, it appears to be Strowman and The Undertaker, which I'm not excited about, but I'm looking forward to.
Really?
Yes. Oh, okay. So, like I said, this is a vintage Undertaker match. He's fighting the big, giant, evil monster, and that's what he does. So I'm a fan of that. Now, everything you read or hear about Strowman is that he's been improving, and everything he does in the ring is strictly Vince McMahon saying, do this, do this, do this, don't do that. And he can do so much more than what you're seeing, but everything you're seeing is strictly Vince McMahon controlling how he's being built. So hopefully when he steps into that spotlight, he shows more of what he can do, and then you'll be like, oh, man, you know, this is dope. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
See, I have
everything you hear or read about, it says that he's improving greatly. So, you know, hey, that's fine. Undertaker's at the end of the line, clearly. So why not put him against a giant monster to end it all? And maybe then you create a new monster. Maybe Strowman becomes legitimate. He beats The Undertaker and boom.
Oh, see, I didn't think of it that way. Like, I've just been like almost dreading it because I feel like it could very well devolve into a cringeworthy like match at WrestleMania.
It very well could, but
like Nathan Jones, what was it?
Nathan Jones and Albert.
Oh,
right, or Big Show against Undertaker. It was some iteration of that, but it could turn into a clusterfuck of a match. Who knows? But I don't mind it. I like the idea. I like the concept of it, and we'll see if what they say about Strowman is true. And he has been being held back, you know, to save it up for something bigger.
Is Undertaker? He usually doesn't come out until after the February pay per view.
Maybe he comes out like, I don't know, like maybe he comes out to like save Brock or something. Kane or something. You know, he comes out to just save someone and they face off.
Oh, what is it? I didn't even think of that. If he comes out to stop Brock, what if? No, they wouldn't put them together, right? They wouldn't do like a Brock Undertaker tag team.
That would be kind of crazy, but no, I don't think so. Brock and Taker versus the entire Wyatt family. Oof.
That, you're right. I mean, I didn't even.
It's a cool idea, but not at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, you want a standalone match.
Yeah, you need the singles.
This is the one time that I hope John Cena heals very quickly and they just. Because, like, where.
Careful, I don't know what you wish for.
Do they announce where WrestleMania is next year?
I don't think so. Or maybe Orlando. I don't know.
I mean, I just feel like this should be the Undertaker's last one.
Yeah, it makes sense. But I'm not against his last match being against Braun Strowman. It was, I don't know. Like, what? It was supposed to be John Cena, you know, and he got hurt. So you have to go to plan B or C right now.
There's always a plan B.
You can always – I would much rather it be Kevin Owens. But, you know, it is what it is. I'll take Braun Strowman against The Undertaker and see what happens. I'm not – like, people get so upset or, like, angry. Like, I don't want to see this guy or, like, whatever. Like, whatever they do, I'm just like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. There's no point to get upset about it because I'm just going to watch it anyway. So,
well, yeah.
You know, what's the point? Like, all right. Maybe this will be good. Maybe it'll be better than I expect. And my expectations aren't high. So, you know, let's see what happens. Maybe everything I hear, like I said, is positive. So, you know, could be better than we think.
I just don't want to see – what I don't want to see is I don't want to see a weird old man next year wrestling at WrestleMania against Cena just because they couldn't do it this year.
No,
you know, like
his whole thing
being away for a year, he's just getting older and older. Like, I don't know. The whole part of it is the mystique.
But it wouldn't be the worst thing because if you have him come out and say, you know, I had my eye on going after you last year, but you got hurt, and so I couldn't go out the way I wanted to. Now I'm going to get that chance. And he just does it. You know, that's fine. There's a real reason why it didn't happen. So you can acknowledge that real reason and use it.
Okay. All right.
Yes, it won't be the biggest WrestleMania of all time in his home state, but it's still WrestleMania. So it doesn't really matter that it's his last match.
Wait, where is Death Valley though, actually?
California, I believe.
It is. All right, so that's actually.
Well, I mean, you know, he's clearly from Texas.
What? What do you mean? He's not from Death Valley?
It might be Death Valley, Texas. Who knows?
I think these are the moments where my co-host legitimately considers, should I be doing this show with him? When I just go into kayfabe fandom.
It's a little kid mode.
But I mean, I drove by Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, and I was crazy hyped.
Yes, of course. Imagine you're just ever somewhere. Like, all right, if we are ever anywhere in a car, separate, together, whatever the case, and we drive past a sign that says "Parts Unknown," like next right or something, you have to go. You have to go
right away.
There's no question. You cannot go because you know what if there's just a breeding farm of wrestlers there.
If I ever saw Parts Unknown, like I would skip work that day, whatever I was doing, if it just
just stumble upon it. That's it.
It would be amazing to find out by the way that Parts Unknown is located in Brooklyn.
It's like right down the block around the corner.
I'm on the way to downtown Brooklyn for work, and like, wait, Parts Unknown is right over here?
Wait, what? Next stop, Parts Unknown?
Yeah, all right.
But, I mean, I don't know. New Day was good. I mean, like I said, did they mention The Rock on Raw? Because I've watched so much wrestling this week that it's blurred together. Because on last week's SmackDown and this week's SmackDown, they've come out and said, like, oh, well, we just want to say one thing to special little someone, like, you know, and mentioned The Rock, and then say, like, you don't have any gold. And, like, they still get at him every chance they get.
I think they did. I think they took a little shot. Yeah, they said they talked about The Rock's potty mouth and how they're going to beat up his cousins.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, and then how they were going to beat up Roman Reigns or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, I think The Rock will be in the corner of the Usos.
I don't think it's – the Usos, like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be – ugh. I really hope it's not them and the Usos, because that will be, like, month six in a row that's the tag team match. But –
so, I mean, the Rock's an extra layer, right?
But I still don't want to see it. Hopefully this is just like, it makes sense to make fun of The Rock, so let's just do it. Like, you know, or like, hopefully the Rock will be in somebody's corner or interact with them in some way, cost them somehow, I don't know. I just don't want to see the Usos. I don't want to see them as the champions. I don't want to see them in this match.
You know, If a closed-minded racist watches WWE TV, they would probably think that every Samoan is related.
But
and by the way, Stat Wife just said they're not.
Yeah, they are.
I know. But
like, what are you talking
well,
about?
Well, I mean, but they're related in like a very. I feel like it's not. They're not okay.
They're all like uncles and cousins.
But like twice removed, it's not even like direct anymore. You know, it's not like The Rock is not really directly related to like Roman Reigns. It's like some marriage, and then this, and then that. I don't know. It's all convoluted. I'm just sick of this whole family thing. And then, I mean, that I think The Rock's going to be in their corner. I mean, I know that you're saying that it's kind of been played out, but I can see the Usos losing. Add Fastlane, and then just it being because, you know, because it's a numbers game, and at WrestleMania, The Rock helps the Usos win the titles because he evens the odds. You know, No way. Perhaps an early 35-cent wager on this match would be a
35 cents.
All right, maybe a little bit more than that. But what did you think about? It's funny, all right. I think that the backstage vignettes, like during the entrance of a match, hasn't like the Divas division uses that like just as effectively as it was done like in the early 90s.
What do you mean, like somebody watching?
Like Sasha, like the Sasha's backstage, and she like, you know, to the cameras in the little square at the top of the screen, you know, says that she's no longer going to be with Naomi and Tamina.
Yeah, like the little promos.
Like they developed that by doing that little backstage promo in the box, not even like it can't even get its own like time on TV.
Yeah.
And then
they do that like sometimes with the tag teams or like certain undercard stuff.
It's so I totally mark out when I see that. It just brings me back to like 12/15, 1993 on a Saturday morning, and you know, the guy just says something during the match. On Superstars or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't particularly like that Becky came out to help Sasha.
I mean, you know, they're friends and yeah, whatever, they're having a feud, but I don't mind them being like them helping each other.
What do you think? Do you think it's going to lead to a triple threat match at WrestleMania?
Well, I thought it was leading to a triple threat match at Fastlane, but then we got Brie involved, and we got these Naomi and Tamina involved. So I guess we're going to go with the singles and the tag at the paper at Fastlane, and then, yeah, I guess we can get the triple threat at Mania, even though I'd rather just see Sasha and Charlotte. But this way, maybe there's an out for Charlotte to win or Sasha to win, you know, whatever, by pinning Becky.
I think it'll bring Becky a little bit more notoriety. Not notoriety. I just feel like the crowd is kind of dead with Becky.
Yeah, because they never develop the character.
Like, what do you mean? She wears goggles and she's got, you know, orange hair.
Why does she wear goggles? Why does she have orange hair? Why is she Becky Lynch? Why does she care? Why does she wrestle? Who is she? Like, they don't ever build up the person. They just, oh, here's Becky Lynch, and here she is. Wrestle. That's you need to care about the person before you cheer for them.
I know one person who cares about Becky Lynch. I think we all do. And this person is in the room right now.
What?
Statwife, seems, especially now with Nikki's debilitating injury. Oh, update on Statwife crying this week. So during Monday Night Raw,
I'm just not going to look at the screen in case she looks and I'm laughing or something.
So when they made the announcement that, you know, that Nikki went under surgery, you know, obviously I expected to have a couple of tears shed. But then 5 minutes later, there was just this kind of inconsolable sob that came out of nowhere. And I was like, what's going on? And it was finally explained to me that she just thought about Nikki again. And just the thought of Nikki being injured and not being able to wrestle, you know,
By
the way, on a side note, laughter, it's actually partly crying because I think she's legitimately sad about Nikki.
Just the thought of it. Way to go, Rich. Way to go.
Husband of the Year Award. Husband of the Year Award. We'll be giving those out soon. Yeah, but I think that if her reaction, you know, in aligning herself with Becky, maybe I don't know, maybe there's hope for Becky yet to become a major player here. I'd rather her not just be the one who takes the pin. I don't want her to be the Dean Ambrose of the match if they do a triple threat. I want it to be a little bit more.
That's exactly what she is.
Terrible. I guess, I mean, is there anything else that happened on Raw? I'm trying to think.
No, that was pretty much it. At least from a impactful, you know, standpoint.
So, do you want to start with ROH?
Yeah, you can talk about ROH. No, I didn't watch that, by the way.
No. So, ROH, they're continuing their Top Prospect tournament. And one of the things I like is that they'll even have like veterans. You know, like they had
veterans who just haven't been in ROH.
Yeah, and they're you know, they'll be like, this guy is a 15-year vet. Like, I like that they don't act like, you know, this guy's never been anywhere. You know,
they're
legitimately telling you the truth about them. This time it was Punisher Martinez versus Colby Carino.
Okay.
Which is just kind of still playing off of the Steve Corino angle with Whitmer.
Yeah.
At the end of it, Whitmer basically, he's calling out Mr. Wrestling and saying, you know, I know you're Steve Corino. And then he just lays out Colby Carino, actually.
Whitmer?
Yeah. Just totally lays him out. And then Mr. Wrestling helps him to the back. He didn't interfere at all, but then, like, during the commercial break, you see him carrying him to the back. So maybe I'd like to see – I mean, Colby looks pretty good out there. I mean, he's very small.
Yeah.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
even smaller. It's funny because I was listening to something else, but, like, you know, the 1-2-3 kid, whatever, X-Pac, he was only small compared to all the other large guys. You know,
he wasn't 6'7" and 6'8".
You know, he's not really that small, but Carino is legitimately
he's normal person size, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, apparently Statwife calls up that not even knowing who Colby Carino is, that it's not possible that I weigh more than Colby Carino, but I legitimately think that I may weigh more than Colby Carino.
Yeah, you might.
I mean, he's teeny. I mean, if I looked at him on TV to other people in real life, that would obviously be very sad for me. Also, so going forward, they had, you know, Roddy versus the World, and Masada came out.
Mm-hmm.
And they really built up Masada by mentioning all of his other accomplishments. You know, like where he's been, where he wrestles, and how he's in death matches. And I think that, you know, brings some more legitimacy to the Roddy versus the World. It made me think. So obviously John Cena had the open challenge, and now Roddy's doing this Roddy versus the World. Was there ever before something similar to this?
To open, like, challenges?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, but a consistent one, like over and over again for a title?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was, and we just can't really think of it right now. But I know there have been open challenges and that kind of thing.
I guess what I'm getting at is, it's weird that they're doing, like, the ROH is doing it so close to. I mean, I know that a lot of wrestling storylines and everything are kind of reused, you know. But it's just weird to have Cena kind of being Mr. WWE, right? Doing this open challenge, and now you have Roddy, Mr. ROH, doing this Roddy versus
World. See, like, I think you're stretching it, but two very different storyline versions of it, you know. It's not, definitely not the same.
All right. And then, like, you have
Cena's just fighting regular whoever guy. WWE superstars, you know, not like all guys from around the world that he already knows are coming out to face him, just like scheduling it beforehand kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think with Rod, like, I wanted the, you know, he's wrestled Steve Richards in this, which I thought, for me, was cool, but I'm not sure how effective that is for other people.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't bad. He's been pretty good, but I get your point.
I was hoping Stevie Richards would stick around, because I don't know what else he's doing, but I guess he's not. So
I think he wrestled on the next set of tapings, too.
It's so great that I can actually forget what happens after I read the tapings.
Yeah.
Well. So I can still enjoy the matches. Then you had and this is one thing that I find to be a little bit odd in this booking. So the main event was Red Dragon versus Cole and Lethal.
Mm.
Where, of course, the heels, this time in this situation, the heels had the accidental hit, where Lethal thought he was about to catch, I think, you know, Kyle O'Reilly with the Lethal injection, and Bobby Fish pushed Adam, like, you know, pushed O'Reilly out of the way, and like Cole ended up catching it, and then they hit their finishing move on Cole and got the win.
Mm-hmm.
But before this, Bobby Fish is, I'm confused if he's the face. It seems like he's almost making Roddy the heel slightly. He keeps coming out and saying that, you know, although Roddy's doing Roddy versus the World, apparently the World doesn't include Bobby Fish. And, you know, and he's still harping on the fact that,
yeah,
he made Roddy tap out. And now Roddy's like snapping, and he like was angry and like threw the microphone at him, and he's like, "I hate you." Like, he literally was just like, "I hate you." And then he just like threw the microphone
at him. Hate you, bro.
It was just such a childish reaction that I'm wondering if they're planting the seeds for, because if you're gonna have, all right, if there's a title change at the 14th anniversary, if Lethal actually drops the belt, and like let's say Kyle O'Reilly wins it, which I don't actually see, but maybe you need to have Roddy play a different role as the second tier champion.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's definitely been a guy who's gone back and forth in ROH a lot. You know, like, he was with the House of Truth, and so he's been a heel, he's been a face, so he plays a good tweener kind of guy, because in that mid-card, you're going to face good guys, you're going to face bad guys, so you need that kind of tweener, like, whoever it is, you know?
I really don't like Bobby Fish. I'm not sure what it is.
I don't like him at all.
I don't know if it's his mustache, because I like the vaudevillains, but I don't know. I just don't like Bobby Fish, and it's weird because I'm seeing the way Roddy's reacting, and I'm like, that's kind of heel, but I hate Bobby Fish so much that I just want Roddy to destroy him. So I hope they haven't said anything about it happening at the 14th anniversary show. I actually don't know if they've made an announcement about Roddy facing somebody else. But I'd like to see him. I legitimately like to see him face off against Fish and shut Fish up. And that's why this is weird. Like, I think that Fish is playing this heel role, and you've got O'Reilly as the clear babyface. And then during the main event, it's like they ignore the fact that Fish just had this thing with Roderick.
Yeah, well, because, you know, they're both kind of still the good guy or whatever.
So, I mean, I'm excited to continue to watch the product. I mean, they're getting better about making sure that it's up every Thursday. I was flirting with the idea of becoming a ringside member so that I could watch it on Mondays. But I was talked out of it. So Statwife is interjecting. I'm not a liar. She talked me into it, but then you talked me out of it.
Correct.
So that $60 would be a waste.
Correct.
Just to watch it a couple of days early. So, or maybe I just need to get a digital receiver and then stay up till 12 o'clock every Wednesday night. You know.
Somehow I don't
think
so.
Or apparently I could spend $1 a match, $1 a week. Statwife is breaking it down much in the way that when you're watching those commercials to donate money to a kid, and it's like, that's 40 cents a kid. You know, can't you give 40 cents a day to this child who's starving so he can get books and go to school and have clean water? So
no, I cannot.
They might need to have ROH should just get Statwife to break it down on their website. Like, come on, guys. It's $1.25 a week. You don't want to watch the best wrestling in the world for $1.25 a week? And then I'm assuming that you watched all of TNA?
Yes. If I remember what happened is a different story, because I was half paying attention to it. And I remember, like, EC3 cut a good promo, but that was about all I remember. The usual Eric Young and Bobby Roode interactions and all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of just like whatever about Michael Bennett. What?
What do you think about the decay?
The decay? That's Abyss on them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty ill. Crazy Steve looks dope. Like his face paint and stuff looks ill, you know? What are the... I can't remember what I was just going to say. There was something else. Oh, Michael Bennett and Drew Galloway. I'm kind of looking forward to that feud because that should be pretty good.
Is Maria going to wrestle now?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, I watched her promo. That was a pretty good promo. And then as soon as Gail Kim came out, I showed up.
And then now Maria, because Ring of Honor does have like the Women of Honor.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't involved in that, right?
I don't believe so, but like they rarely have that, you know.
No, yeah, I mean you have to like dig for it. You have to go to like their you have to go to yeah, like, the
certain
channel,
house shows
like, watch
and,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think like she ever needed to be there. But I'm sure TNA said, you know, like we're paying you a lot of money, so you better start wrestling. Or maybe it was like we can pay you this if you're going to just manage, but we'll pay you this if you wrestle. So, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just what was it? What was the last match? It was Tyrus and Drew?
It was Hardy and Angle.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. I'm trying to just go through the stuff.
Yeah, I didn't really care for that. Like, you know, Angle is not in the best shape, and Hardy, I don't really care to watch wrestle, so it wasn't very appealing to me.
When is there like an end point for this Angle retirement tour?
All right. Well, he in the UK, I think he fights Galloway if he didn't already fight him. Mm-hmm. And I know he fights Lashley. And Lashley is his last match. But then, like, everyone comes out and, like, or everyone's trying to talk him out of it. And Lashley's like, no, no. Like, this is your last match. Get out. And then after the match, Lashley beats him up. So I don't know if
Lashley beats him up. Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to, you know, just erase that. That was supposed to be his last match and he'll have one more or something. But we'll see.
I have to. It's Tuesday nights, right?
Yeah.
I just have to go in because I end up going in like watching it in weird places instead of remembering to tape it.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. It's just DVR it and then fast forward or whatever you have to do. But I did watch Lucha Underground, and that was pretty phenomenal.
It's very upsetting that in hipster land we don't get El Rey Network, so I'm always going to be behind on. I did watch, like, last week. I watched last week's episode that you talked about on air with Ivelisse taking on King.
I'm always Cuerno.
Cuerno, there we go.
No. Mil Muertes.
Mil Muertes. And I mean, it was Mil Muertes legitimately when he came, like, when I saw him come out and like into the ring, I was like, man, I don't know if you could actually pay me to get in the ring with that guy. He's really large.
Yeah, he's huge.
You know, there's some wrestlers that I'm like, I can see myself, you know, going into tussle with this guy. And that guy, I legitimately look at it, I'm like, I would not be wanting to, you know, encounter him in an alley somewhere.
Yeah, so this week his arm is broken, you know, because last week Pentagon broke his arm. And so like, he was just sitting on the stage. And Johnny Mundo, you know, John Morrison fought. Some guy Killshot, like I don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. Well, he's Shane Strickland from CZW, but I don't know who that is. so he had a mask on and everything. And he did some cool stuff, some nice offense, but you know, Morrison ended up getting the win. And then Brian Cage, I don't know if you know him. He came out and he said, like, you know, I'll fight you. Last time we fought, I won, or whatever he said. And then, whatever, they had a little interaction. Morrison left, and then Cage was, like, talking, and Morrison came back in and jumped him from behind and then escaped when Cage got the upper hand, whatever. So clearly building to something with them. You had something else that was pretty good. I can't remember. And then you had Prince Puma, who was Ricochet, and Pentagon Jr. versus the Disciples of Darkness, who are like Mil Muertes, like goons.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they won. Ricochet hit his 920 or whatever the hell. And like, as he was doing it, Pentagon Jr. tagged in and then, you know, just jumped in and got the pin. And then he tried to break Prince Puma's arm afterwards, but Prince Puma escaped. And so that's definitely like one of their big storylines for the year. So, you know, that looks to be pretty dope.
The season's not completely taped already, right?
I believe it is.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because I saw, like, the pictures of the arena for, like, the Ultimate Lucha.
Wow.
Like, I believe they're going to tape the third season soon.
I thought they would do something like maybe tape four episodes Wow.
But I think they make people sign, you know, whatever agreements, non-disclosure or whatever, so that stuff doesn't get leaked. But I definitely did see some Lucha Underground. Like, I didn't read them, but I did see like Lucha Underground spoilers and blah, blah, blah.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
so I didn't want to read them because the whole point of this is to watch it, you know, so.
Well, you know.
It's so different. Like, I just didn't want to ruin what's going to happen because you're not going to have the vignettes and you don't know certain stuff that goes on to make the matches happen, so.
Yeah. No, I mean, luckily I have that amazing ability to not remember anything.
Yeah, well.
Speaking of not remember anything, did you catch NXT also?
Yes. But I don't think it was really anything, like, big that happened.
No, I mean, you had the Vaudevillains took on the Hype Brother, the Hype Bros. Not a big deal. Vaudevillains beat the Hype Bros, so.
Yes, yes, I remember that.
Carmella.
The heel Vaudevillains.
Yeah, it was weird, right? I mean.
Well, I mean, they've been cutting, like, heel promos for a little while.
I like them better as heels, yeah, to be honest. Like, I was happy when they won the titles, but not.
Yeah, it was fun cheering for them as faces, but I don't really care either way. So it's better for them to be heels.
I think their whole thing should be that they're heels, right? I mean, they're old timey. They can look not like these, you know.
Yeah.
These guys with these highfalutin moves, and they should. I really wish they spoke a little bit more like they were older.
Huh.
I think that would kind of like make it a little bit more believable. I think they'll never. They should always be in NXT. I don't think it'll ever work.
No way.
Such a like a little niche kind of like odd gimmick that.
And that was the same thought I had watching them, and which is why I'm kind of like tuned down on them already. You know.
Carmella took on Emma. I mean, you know. Emma really has been working great matches down there. I mean, I actually enjoy watching her wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella came, you know, got the upper hand and won because, of course, she's building towards
Bailey.
The match with Bailey. And then
they had a good, like, promo or vignette, whatever, with Carmella, like, talking about her journey to WWE and all that kind of stuff, which was pretty cool.
No, yeah, I mean, it's almost like if you hadn't watched, it's like if you haven't watched Breaking Ground, because I felt like a lot of that was just like already revealed on Breaking Ground.
Well, I didn't know that her father was a wrestler or any of that kind of stuff. So,
I think I heard her on a podcast talk about her dad being an enhancement talent.
Okay,
he wasn't really like a big guy. Like he was He was like, you're not Mike Sharp, but one of those kind of guys. Well and Adam Dunn. Yes.
One day you'll get their names right.
Yeah. Then you had Asuka with Santana Garrett. I don't know. Is this Santana Garrett the one who's supposed to... Because I heard there were rumors about some girl coming in and being like aligned with the Wyatts. It's not Santana Garrett, right?
I have no idea.
And then, I mean, I thought it was a really good match. Finn Balor versus Apollo Crews.
Mm-hmm. And I remember us talking about, like, when he first debuted, or at least I remember saying, like, how Apollo Crews needs a real finisher. And now he's using that, like, that power bomb. And it's like, oh, thank you, man. Like, this is, and I, like, on Breaking Ground, you see Triple H telling him the same thing. Like, you know, you need that more impactful. Like, you know, this has been a couple weeks, a month, whatever he's had this, but first time we've been able to address it. But, yeah, good match. You know, it's kind of just like the norm when those guys are in the ring. You just expect a good match. You know Balor was going to win. So, you know, it was what it was.
Do you think this is there going to be a Bullet Crew iteration down there in NXT?
Bullet Crew? I don't know what the Bullet Crew is.
Bullet Club. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know if they do the Balor Club or whatever, but who knows?
See, I wouldn't personally. If I was a wrestler, I would not to be part of like the Balor Club is like I wouldn't join that club. Like I don't know. Like I mean, you figure they're gonna be kind of like heels, right? I mean, that's what they were in New Japan.
Yes, but like they're. Faces in ROH and everywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, Kenny.
United States, you know?
Kenny Omega's going to be at the 14th anniversary.
Yeah,
show.
I saw that. That was a good replacement for them.
They're doing, what are they calling it? So, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks have now, they're now the Elite.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, I don't know. I mean, I want to see what happens with Gallows. I want to see if they change their names and Anderson. Like, I don't know. The truth of the matter is there's no reason to keep them.
Well, Gallows was his WWE name, so that's fine.
Yeah, I wonder. But I mean, I feel like they'll just do it just so they can get the licensing rights.
They have just call him Luke Gallows. They own that. That was his WWE name.
So how about Anderson?
Anderson, whatever. They can always change. Maybe they can spell it with a C or Carl Anderson with a C or something.
They are pretty
but, you good. Know, they like Nakamura's could be Nakamura. Styles is Styles. Joe is Joe. So, you know, who knows? They don't necessarily have to change anything.
Nakamura, though. Like remember, because even when they signed. Well,
I know. They said it to me, but and then they changed it. So, you know, who knows? But for right now, he's Nakamura.
All right. I mean, I'm looking forward to those guys showing up. I really am getting to the point where I don't know. I know for a couple months I was like just dying to see Enzo and Cass on WWE TV, and now I'm
not.
Yeah, no. Now I'm feeling like I'd be okay with them not with them just staying in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, eventually. They have to do something because they're kind of just there.
I mean, do you think I mean, NXT is obviously going to be a feeder thing, but like, look what's happening. Ugh, Tyler Breeze just lost to Titus O'Neil. Ugh.
Meh, whatever.
I know you like Titus.
Tyler Breeze, but Tyler Breeze isn't like a main eventer, you know?
I think he should be, though.
He's too small.
What are you trying to say about small guys, huh? All right. Did we cover everything this week? You have any final thoughts? Anything?
Nah, that's it, man. Looking
forward to?
Nah. Just continuing the build to Fastlane and eventually WrestleMania.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't talk about date night last week, but I'll just be brief. Went to the Avenue N American Legion to watch Fighting Spirit Wrestling. The stat wife and I hadn't been out in months, so clearly the best place to
first go. First night out.
First night out in months without the baby. Independent wrestling show. It was great. Just, you know, of course, sitting in the front row, having a great time there. Sammy Callahan was there. He took a pretty nasty shot. You have to kind of hold the barricades. And he got Irish whipped into one, and the barricade fell over. So I don't know how he didn't crack his head on the back of it. And what was kind of cool is, like, the first show that we went to, you know, you had Tyrus was there in the back, you had Sabu there, and you had Colt Cabana. But you got the feeling that these guys weren't going to be there in the next show, and they weren't. Callahan actually ended up aligning with a heel faction called Snot, of Chris Rex and Azrael. The good guy, and they're I looked at the card for the next show. He's actually going to be showing up, so I think that's pretty cool to have the continuity. I mean, I know Callahan may not be signed anywhere else right now, but it's just nice to see that, you know, somebody with that kind of name and you know, being former NXT star or NXT competitor, just kind of being consistent on a local show is pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, makes you feel like the product is a little bit bigger. Or yeah. You know, oh, here's a guy who's been to WWE no matter how small his run.
And his work rate is
cool.
Great.
Yeah, he's solid. So it's cool to see a guy like that there, definitely.
So hopefully you're not away gambling next time and we can head down to the All right. I think that's everything for this week. No?
Yeah.
You want to prolong it a little bit more? No? All right. Well, so don't forget, guys, you can find us on the lastwordonsports.com wrestling section. You can find us on iTunes under Last Word on Sports Radio. You can also find us on the Wrestling to the Max network on iTunes. You can visit Wrestling to the Max on Facebook. You can email us directly at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, wait a minute. Do we have time for trivia?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So you can also follow us on Twitter at runningwildlwos. And until next week, just want to remind you guys that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too
sweet.